Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
There we go, got my Sprite.
Jesus Christ, that took like a week.
Well, I have to squeeze the lemons myself. I'm Alan!
Oh, I'm Chris.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Robot Wars, The Fifth Wars. Peace out.
Elford, let's get a fucking move on.
What? We just get distracted because we were talking a lot.
No, I mean through this episode, because this one is another bit of a blurf.
Really? Okay. I mean, compared to, let's be honest, compared to last week's episode, or the Chaos 2 episode, or the Hypnotist episode, for this is a top four against a bunch of jobbers, this is actually probably one of the better shows.
There's aspects of it that are insanely good, and then some where it's just like, well, we know what's going to happen here.
Yep. So we start off with our first match.
Speaking of, from Gloucester, Pussycat.
Which is back, the number two seed based on its runner-up status from last year. It is no real noticeable differences to the robot. Maybe a different blade, but that's about it.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, that's like the iconic Pussycat blade, the kind of sort of weavy, for you know, lack of a better word. Blade. Yeah, but like it's also like it's not like a straight blade either. It's like kind of, it's like slanted. Like the four sections are like slanted, and I feel like that's what gives it like the kind of beefy, sort of impact that it does. Because like, It's not your average saw blade.
Yeah.
And anyway, its opponent, from Peterborough, the Executioner.
Which we saw in Robot Wars Extreme.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a wedge robot with a wee tiny little crusher thing on the front. And I mean, to be fair to it, it catches Pussycat with it very quickly.
Yeah. I thought for a brief moment, it's like, ooh, they've got a chance here.
Yep.
It didn't last long, but like, I mean, you know, any slight events you get for fair dues.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, like, we talk about their little crusher, at least they didn't get made fun of at the beginning of the episode by Philippa Forrester, when she was running down the returning robots, and she just made a comment that Ming 3 looks a lot like another robot that's had a lot of success in Robot Wars.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to that.
Yeah, when we get to Ming, which is next, we'll talk about it more. So yeah, Executioner gets like a good grab like on the saw, like right at the start, and stops the blade, and it's like, damn, for like for a second there you had a shot.
Yep.
It didn't take very long though. Pussycat chases Executioner into the wall next to Matilda, and then Executioner turns and blam, there goes the weapon. Matilda just slices the claw straight off of the Executioner.
Also, there is this brilliant moment where you realise after a while, alright, Pussycat's opened a hole in the side of the robot and it just keeps going back to that hole.
Pinpoint precision, like all these times, just like blam, 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 right in the hole.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's a joke in there somewhere. And then pretty much after the executioner loses the weapon, it also kind of conks out. So Pussycat gets the pit release, and down goes the executioner.
But hey, it went harder than it had any right to.
Yeah. Yeah, like, props.
So, we then get on to two returning robots.
But both looking incredibly different.
Mm-hmm.
From Oxford, Terahertz.
The first variant of this robot that is still fighting in some capacity today. Because let's be honest, Beta is called Beta because Terahertz is... They don't want Terahertz to be copyrighted.
Mm-hmm. Plus, like, Beta is slightly different. Like, the axe is different.
The principle is the same, though.
Yes, everything else is the same, but the axe is different. Like, Beta has a bludgeoning weapon,
uh-huh.
and Terahertz has a choppy-choppy weapon.
Yeah. This is very much an early version of this robot, though. So this version, it's actually symmetrical. Giant axe blade. I have to say, the amount of disrespect that Robot Wars has on the Kilohertz name is shocking. When you realise how successful this robot's been outside the UK, which obviously we didn't realise at the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't someone who watched BattleBot. But it is. It's a bit like Deator, and you're sitting there going, no, this team was like actually properly good, but they never get the credit they deserve.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of one of those things, though, of like, they are looking at their own history and disregarding everything else. But then sometimes they'll bring up other people's history from like other shows when it's, you know, when they see fit. Like whenever Frenzy shows up, they're like, oh, this robot's a killer in America. But then like when it comes to like killers, it's like, oh, this robot's not been good.
Yep.
It's like, well, you know, like, just say it took America by storm, you know, just like a generic sentence like that to give it a little bit more respect, but no, they don't. They're just like, oh, Kilohertz wasn't always that great.
Yep.
Blah. And his opponent from Somerset, Ming 3.
So they literally got Ming 2, pulled the flipper out, and glued generic the impersonator razor claw on the top of it.
Yeah, but like the thing with it, yeah, because like it's so generic razor that even has self-writing wings.
Yeah,
but the thing is, like, even with Suicidal Tendencies last week, okay, they also got a crusher, but for some reason, I didn't even see like Suicidal Tendencies as being like a Razor ripoff, but this one is a blatant Razor ripoff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's the difference.
And then the thing is, like, the Crusher isn't even good. Like, it's more of a grapple weapon as opposed to a Crusher, because it moves so quickly and so non-impactfully that it just kind of is like, meh. Like as if it's like is grabbing a robot as opposed to wanting to crush it. Unless maybe that's what they were going for, and that's why they were like, I see, it's different from Razor because it's not meant to be a crusher.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, I think yeah. That should just be the end of the sentence. I think it's just, and then everybody's like, yep, I agree. And then even, you know, Matilda gets kind of offended by this, because Ming gets one good grip on Terahertz, and then Matilda's just like, eh, no, fuck you. And then just...
I'm like, fuck. And there's not even that. I mean, there is a bit of me just going, right,
you
so...
Don't, Good on
you. Are they at least going to cover the cost of repair? Because, right, whether you agree with it or not, Ming 3 is screwed over.
Oh, definitely. Like, 100%.
It's an active screw job.
Yeah, like, I'm joking a little bit when I say that, like, because, you know, we'd love to have a fucking joke and a laugh here, like, but, like, when I say, like, Matilda gets offended, it's like, yeah, no, that, like, it is complete bullshit. Like, Ming 3 completely, like, arguably in charge of the fight at that point. Matilda just beefs out of the CPZ when neither of them are even close to any of the CPZs and just completely wrecks the back of Ming 3. And you see he goes dead instantly.
Yeah.
And then Terror Hearts drives away and is like, hey, look, I've won. And then Matilda comes back and goes, yeah, here's a second one, fuck you. And it's like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, does, like, Ming 3 owe you money or something? Like, it was a hit. There was a hit out of Ming 3.
Oh, it's literally. And then we cut to backstage and we see John Reed handing the £20 to Matilda.
But that's the thing, is, like, John Reed didn't even need to, like, I don't even think, if you wanted looking at it that way, John Reed was like, oh yeah, here's $20, I don't think I'm going to beat Ming 3. He's like, nah, you can beat Ming 3. Like, this is like a vendetta that Matilda has against Ming 3. Nothing to do with John Reed. I feel like that's besmirching his name a little.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, like, I do completely agree with you on that aspect. Like, Ming 3 got screwed here. Did I think they were going to win? Probably not. But, you know, I would have much rather have seen full-on fight between the two of them to see whether it could or not. But, like, and what I'm trying to say is I'm stammering because I'm three or four sentences are going through my head at once. I always went into this match thinking Terror Hearts was going to win. The way that they won, very shoddy. I mean, not their fault. They'll take the victory.
It goes to the judges, but what are they meant to do?
Yeah, I mean, it went to the judges, and they said that the match will be determined up until Matilda attacked Ming 3.
That's and like then, 10 seconds.
I know. But, like, in that 10 seconds, Terror Hearts got a good amount of axe blows. So it won probably on damage alone.
Yeah.
It's not the way that I would want Ming 3 to go out. And it's funny how, like, we were kind of poking fun of them at the beginning of the fight and then literally turning around and going, yeah, this is bullshit and they deserve better. So, you know, I think that kind of encapsulates our podcast in a single go of, like, oh, we'll poke fun at you, but, like, see when you're being besmirched, we'll back you up.
Oh, we'll joke about it, but still, no, go F yourself. You know, it's like a puppy. You really annoy me and I don't like you. Oh, I'll take the way. No!
No, give me back my puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah, stop eating all the cables. You're such a brat. I wish you were gone. No, don't leave, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's me and Taco, to be honest with you.
Yep.
Yeah, but we have a love-hate relationship.
You love that you hate each other.
Yeah. It's like, I generally think, see some of the antics that happen between us two could easily be, like, you know, like a 5-minute sitcom on, like, YouTube or something. But I digress. So Ming 3 gets screwed over. I hope they get some kind of you mentioned that, like, I do hope that, like, they kind of paid for the repairs, because
yeah,
getting into a match where, like, say if you're in a match against Hypnodisc, okay, fair enough, you're repaired against Hypnodisc, damage will happen. Mm-hmm. But, like, with that, like, that was completely uncalled for and not
it's
needed.
Not even like, oh, you were badly beaten and we just cemented it. It was
a complete screw job.
Anyway, we have two more first round matches.
Yes, honestly, I didn't realize I was that passionate about, like, the screw job until we started talking about it, and now I'm like, god damn.
Yeah,
our next match from Horns Cross, Claude Hopper.
It's a walker robot. What good? Now, apparently, it's meant to have, like, drum spinners on the side, but I don't think I've ever seen them move.
Yeah. I know, I thought they were just there as kind of protection.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of protecting the walker legs. Because it's a very well-protected robot in terms of, like, I mean, Jesus, the last walker robot we seen in this season, that legs for days that were just asking to be cut off.
Yep. And then they put it against Hypnodisc.
Oh, I was, you know, yeah, there's that one as well. I was more thinking of 11.
Oh, yeah.
And their opponent from Calcliffe, Twister.
Is this the only team that has actively got worse with each robot?
Yes.
Because Berserk 1 was fantastic and was the only robot in Season 3 that looked like it could live with Hypnodisc.
No, wait, that was Berserk 2. Berserk 1 was in...
Berserk 2, right, Berserk 2, yeah. Original version. Berserk 2, version 2.
Was bad, terrible.
And this robot is worse.
Oh, this, I would have preferred going into this match not knowing that this was the Berserk team.
I mean, literally, it gets to the point where it does the season two of, and I'm in the match and I'm dead.
Yeah.
And then there's this awkward moment, and again, I actually think I would have enjoyed this more than a lot of other stuff, but this idea of kind of watching Claude Hopper kind of go, going to push you in the pit, going to push you in the pit. Okay, I need to change the angle.
Also,
push you in the pit, right, so push you in the pit.
I have very few notes for this match. The one note that I...
happens.
Yeah, the one note that I have is... Twister's weapon is fucking pointless because it has this big spinning drum on the back and then it's got a frame around it.
Am I the only person disappointed that this robot wasn't... that Claude Hopper wasn't a giant shoe this time?
No, like, giant shoe bot was fucking hilarious.
Anyway.
What was it called? Claude Hopper? No, that's his name now.
Claude Hopper,
like, yeah, shoe-based puns. But yeah, like, I'm just looking at Twister's weapon. It's like, right, so you've got this big spinning disc, and then round it you have a frame, so that weapon can't make any impact. But then, like, on the frame they've got, like, this teeny tiny little mincer thing, and it was like, then what was the point in having the other weapon?
Yep.
Ugh. So, yep, as quickly as the match starts, Twister dies instantly, and Claude Hopper goes to the pit release, and Jonathan Pierce says it took them 7.5 months to hit the pit release button.
No, that's us just covering the year 2000, my friend.
Ugh. I mean, I've been to the year 2000. No, wait. 3000.
Yep.
Oh, well, never mind. Never mind. I've been to the year 2000. Not much has changed, but everything was cheaper.
Everything not everybody. Was a lot cheaper.
Yeah. And everybody didn't just hate everybody else.
Yep.
Bloodhopper finally pits Twister. And then I wrote, yay!
So, now we get to see an old dog being put down.
Oh my god. This was depressing, man.
Right, let's introduce them first.
Okay. From Kettering, 101.
It just looks tired.
It looked tired, like, last season. Mm-hmm. I think we even kind of commented on that last season. It's like, how much more can you get this robot to do? And then this happens. From London, Fluffy.
And the second you look at this robot, you're like, one of them's dead. You just have to look at this robot, and it's got this, it's got like a spinning axe weapon, and you're going, oh, if this robot works, one of them is very, very dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two robots touch for the first time, and oh yeah, it's very, very dead.
Oh. I know, because it was like 101 gets like a couple of like kind of good jabs, and it's like, hey, 101 doing 101 stuff, and then all of a sudden Fluffy just turned around. It was almost like a fucking back fist to the face. Like I equate this to like kind of a UFC match of like a kind of older but still kind of respected competitor against like a young up and comer, and it's like, okay, right, well the older guy's doing doing what he does best, like, oh, jab, jab, boom, boom, move away. So he just comes in, and then the young guy just turns around, back fist, slap, and then he's just, like, knocked the fuck out.
Yeah.
Oh, it was grim. And it was, like, probably the worst kind of damage that I've ever seen 101 take, and 101's had matches against fucking Razor.
Oh, I. It is.
But, like, it's the equivalent to the back fist is Fluffy turns around and just bang, one of the tracks of 101 just comes off completely, and then 101 is just stuck in the corner, and then they just start peeling away, so like the whole one side is just completely bent in the wrong direction. It looks like fucking Dante Martin after that fucking Ring of Honor ladder match where his ankle would face the wrong way and
thanks for that image.
You're welcome. I mean, Jesus. Try watching it and give back some.
No, thank you.
It's worse than Sid Vicious.
Oh, thanks for reminding me about Sid Vicious. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So then the rest of my notes go on with, okay, this went to a judge's decision, which says that this match lasted 5 minutes.
Oh,
and then, why didn't 101 get counted out? It was clearly stuck in a circle, should have got counted out. Like, I think this is the one thing that kind of makes Fluffy look a bit weak, is in the grand scheme of things, you could argue Fluffy couldn't finish 101 off, and it's like, well, I've seen
that. I mean, you say that robot's dead.
I know, well, like, that's the point. Why didn't it get counted out then? Like, because I feel like the only reason I'm saying that is because there's times where Jonathan Pierce has literally brought that up as a kind of argument during a fight. It's like, oh, well, they dominated, but they didn't finish blah, blah off. And it's like, well, I mean, they should have, because clearly said robot is spinning around in a circle. It should be counted out. The same 2023 BattleBots rules here.
Anyway, so that's the end of 101, and it's kind of sad.
It is very sad.
But hey, at least they can build a new robot now.
Mm-hmm.
That can then make me mad at Tornado all over again.
Wait, being mad at Tornado is my thing. Get your own thing.
I'm not mad at them for that. I'm mad at them for bullying my anarchy boy.
Big anarchy boys over here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But that is for another season.
Yep. So.
And To be honest, you just helped me add more fire at the flame for next season, so Jesus Christ. It's as if I wasn't pissed off enough already going into season 6. You've just reminded me that also happens.
So, semi-final one.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Grizz and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled T-E-K-N-O-A-X-E.
Pussycat versus Claude Hopper. And it's interesting because you can kind of see Pussycat going, what do I do?
Yeah.
Like, I can do little nicks and cuts, and I do Death by a Thousand Cuts, and where do I hit?
It's like, he won't stop moving. I don't understand, like, yeah, like, we get the Claude Hopper.
Claude Hopper does better than 90% of robots do at Pussycat ripping strips off them.
Oh, yeah. Like, Claude Hopper is a beast of a robot. Like, we go to the introductions, and this is the part where they tell us that there is the side drums. And they show them turning, and it's like, oh, okay, so they did have side drums.
Yeah.
Don't think they ever worked, but so I thought that was all for effect. The one thing that weirded me out here is when they introduced the two robots, there was no background music.
Yeah, they did this in both in this episode quite a bit. They just randomly take the background music out.
Yeah, I would imagine it was probably going to be in your trivia, but it was too weird for me to not mention.
No, same. I noticed it as well.
So, yep, as you kind of alluded to, Death by a Thousand Cuts, Pussycat just... It dances about Claude Hopper for the first kind of 20, 30 seconds. It's like, because its first shot it goes in, it gets the saw blade embedded in the back, and then Claude Hopper kind of almost starts controlling Pussycat until the saw blade comes out. And then that's when Pussycat kind of rears back and goes, okay, this is going to be interesting.
Yep.
And then it kind of pulls away, comes in, dink. Pulls away, comes in, dink. Pulls away, comes in, dink. And then eventually snaps one of the chains of the, say, drums. And then the drum falls off. And then that's when you can see the walking mechanism underneath, and it's like, yep, that's what they were trying to prevent. Was when it comes to a walking robot, you want the walking mechanism to be protected, and they've done a really good job of that until this point where one of them fell off. And then it's just a case of like Pussycat just rears back, comes in, hit, rears back, comes in, hit, and the whole time Claude Hopper is just It's coming at Pussycat, like, fucking come at me, bro. Like, you ain't taking this motherfucker down. I got this. And then just as the 10 seconds are counting down, Claude Hopper gets, like, a claw into, like, one of Pussycat's wheels. And it was like, oh, that's a good shot. That's good points on the board.
Yeah.
But, again, that was a judge's decision, which does say to me that was a... 5 minutes that someone had to sit through.
Yep, absolutely.
While it wasn't a terrible fight, 5 minutes of that, though, probably would be kind of rough. Naturally, Pussycat wins, but, like, all the praise in the world goes to Claude Hopper.
Absolutely.
Also, by the way, we forgot to do it again.
I don't care. That episode did not... No robot in the Razor episode deserved any credit.
Well, Razor did. Like, best returning robot, Razor.
Best newcomer.
Rick, I guess. Oh, well, because they had Maverick before, so... Ew!
Razor.
Oh, does that mean best newcomer would technically need to be Widow's Revenge?
It does now.
Ugh.
Congratulations, Grizz. You're responsible for that.
Yeah. I mean, like, you clearly see why at this point we forget to do this, is because this has not been the greatest season of Robot Wars.
Which is weird, because I remember this being like, oh my god, this is when it gets really, really good. And then there's just... there are episodes that are really good.
Yeah. As soon as we get into the semi-finals and the final, like, we have arguably three of the best episodes of Robot Combat, like, ever. But we had to fucking wade through an absolute...
I actually think, as bizarre
smog.
As I'll tell you now, Series 6 or Series 7 will be the best series of Robot Wars.
Hmm.
Or maybe Series 10 of the reboot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I definitely think one of the reboot series is arguably the best.
Yeah. Which is 10, obviously.
Hmm. I know, because it just kept going up in quality, and then we're like, ha! Cancelled.
Yep. Anywho. So.
So. Semi-final 2.
Fluffy versus Terahertz.
Mm-hmm.
And Terahertz knows exactly what it needs to do.
Yes,
it goes
put on...
immediately for... to the point where they even position the robot too close so they can pull off a box rush immediately.
I love how you also called it a box rush.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a battle box term, but like I wrote that as well. Terahertz with a box rush was my first note.
And at first it's like, oh my god, Terahertz stands at... oh no.
Yep.
That's the sound of a CO2 bottle being ruptured.
Oh yeah. It was the exact same kind of fight that 101 had with Fluffy, where it's like, first couple of seconds it's like, oh sure, look at it go, and it's like, and then it just goes, oh no. No, that's it. It's just Fluffy just really into ripping sides off of robots.
I mean, obviously. Now, one thing I will say is they do keep coming back, and they really shouldn't.
Yeah, they were just kind of asking for it at that point, but it was just I think it's just there's too much pride in the Terahertz team at that point. They were just like, no, oh no, we will fight until we die. And then Fluffy's like, alright then.
So, we'll skip over to the final battle. And oh boy, we've got a humdinger. We've got the veteran and newcomer. The two really devastating weapons. I mean, let's be clear, these are the two best robots of this episode by a country mile. And at first, it's a really fast battle. It's these two robots really jostling for position. And then
it happens.
Fluffy gets the perfect shot, goes blade to blade, and wins. And you just see the blade of Pussycat go flying off, and you're going, oh my god, they've got Pussycat on the ropes, they've got... why isn't it moving?
Fluffy. Did it knock itself out?
Fluffy knocked itself out! It literally did that. I'm winning.
Right, 20-ish year old episode.
I forgot that it took the blade off. I knew Pussycat won, but I forgot. Mm. Oh yeah, that's right. Fluffy actually had them on the ropes.
Like, 20-year-old episode, my heart sank as if this was a fight that is happening in, like, a current season.
Uh-huh.
It was just... oh, the heartbreak was real. And I knew that, like, Fluffy is obviously quite prone to this.
Mm-hmm.
but I just I didn't remember it being this genuinely like incredible like shot of like holy crap, he's done it, and then it's just boo, and it's like, what the fuck happened? Why?
Why? But hey, on the plus side, it does mean we get to the trivia quicker.
It does. I mean, like, this was a pretty short fight, but it was, like, arguably, this is one of the most spectacular short fights in Robot Wars history.
Uh-huh. So this heat was the only one in history to feature two previous year's seeds, where the top and bottom seeds were in the opposite halves between seasons. In Series 5, Pussycat was now within the upper half, and 101 was in the lower half, a reversal of Series 4.
Hmm.
The concluding heat of the fifth war saw Claude Hopper become the first Walkerbot ever to pass round one of the UK Championship after beating Twister.
I bet that lives on their conscience, like, quite a lot.
Fluffy, the winner of Series 5 Most Promising Newcomer Award, upon defeating the 23rd seed, 101, made 101 the first seed ever to lose in the first round on a judge's decision.
Wow.
Fluffy was also the...
Shouldn't have been a judge's decision, but okay.
One of three robots to reach the heat... one of three newcomers to reach the heat finals in Series 5. Both of the newcomers had been seen in Robot Wars Extreme prior to Heat L, making Heat L the only heat in the Fifth Wars where all eight teams had featured in the televised show before. So we can't even do Best Newcomer this time.
Because technicalities.
But we can say that the Best Improved is Executioner, because it went from an utter no-hoper to giving Pussycat something to think about.
Yeah, it scared Pussycat for a second. Wasn't Executioner the one that went for the pit button and then drove itself in the pit?
Yes. Heat L saw Terahertz compete in televised competition for the first time, having previously appeared in the video games Robot Wars Arenas of Destruction and Robot Wars Advanced Destruction prior to the episode being shown.
That's bizarre.
This was the last heat in UK Robot Wars history where the competing teams had, between them, debuted in every war up to and including the current series.
Hmm.
I don't quite get what that means.
Okay, read it as it's written, and I'll try and see if I can decipher it.
No, that's how it was written. I'm guessing it's saying this is the last episode where there's no newcomers whatsoever.
Right, read it again.
This was the last heat in UK Robot Wars history where the competing teams had, between them, debuted in every war up to and including the current series. Okay, so there's a team that debuted in Series 1, there's a team that debuted in Series 2, there's a team that debuted in Series 3, there's a team that debuted in Series 4, and there's a team that debuted in Series 5.
Right, okay. Yeah, because Pussycat team are the Body Hammer team.
Mm-hmm. Terahertz, the Kilohertz
team. Yeah, Kilohertz Season 2.
101 debuted in Series 3? Or did Ming debuted in Series 3, didn't they?
Yeah, because 101 was in Series 2 as Doc.
Or Berserk debuted Series 3 as well.
Berserk debuted in Series 2. It had a televised fight in Series 2.
Okay. Claude Hopper debuted in Series 4.
Uh-huh.
And Executioner and Fluffy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nailed it.
The third Eliminator was the only battle in this heat not to feature a seeded robot or a team that lost in the first round of a UK Championship.
Hmm.
And Heat B of Series 7 would be the next heat in which a seeded robot did not make it to the second round. That's probably because there were less seeded robots than six, I think. So that is the last of our heats. So we now know all the robots that are in the semi-final. We've seen every robot we're going to see this year.
Yep. Everyone's competed.
After some real, real duds, we are finally going to get... Let's be perfectly honest. Certainly the first semi-final and the grand final are two of the most well-regarded battles or episodes in Robot Wars history.
Yeah, definitely. Like, some of the genuine most heart-stopping battles, and again, like, 20-plus-year-old TV shows still, and episodes that I've seen before, still, these fights, you know, take the proverbial breath away, and next week, we are going to get deep into some chatter when it comes to some of these fights.
Yep.
So we've waded through the slog, and now we're finally at the promised land, and it's nothing but gravy from here.
Oh yeah.
So join us next week as we look at the first series semi-final.